Andrew Salchunas. I'm Devon Givens. We are in for Anthony and Jason here on the Midday Show. A lot of good talk back and forth about what this game was. Just frustrating. With our poll to our question, who deserves most of the blame for last night's loss to the Celtics? At 975 The Fanatic on Twitter, once again, Brett Brown, Ben Simmons, Kyrie Irving, because he was just that good, and 13 points off the bench so far. We have over 2,300 votes since we started this at 10 o'clock. And Brett Brown was in the lead earlier, Andrew, at 43%. Brett Brown held down the crown.
I'm sure he's still there.
Probably.
I'll pull it up for you right now, but I'm sure he's still there.
We're getting way more on the phones of Ben Simmons. Way more.
And we're not trading Ben. They're not trading Ben Simmons. I'm biting my tongue too much today. They are not trading Ben Simmons for Brandon Ingram and a bench piece.
No, they're not. No.
43% still Brett Brown leads.
Still. All right.
I get the frustration. I really do, because a lot of us, me included, said that this guy's going to be the next generational talent. He's the next Magic Johnson. And I get that he's not there yet. Yet. He's played, what, 120-some games in his career? You got to give the dude time. What is he missing? A jump shot? What have you seen him take more of this year? A jump shot. Not that many times.
The problem are their fadeaway jump shots instead of just straight
up. Yeah, that 22-footer yesterday was not necessarily a skilled jump shot. It was a desperation heave before the shot clock went out and he hit it.
You know, what's the one thing they say when you shoot a jump shot? Always follow your shot. It's hard to follow your shot when you're fading away.
When you're always fading away.
So, I need a regular jump shot where even in the event that it's going to be a miss, you can follow your shot. So, but I'm not even worried about that. It's just take a regular jump shot.
Yeah, and you said it earlier. I've been down the court a couple times too before games when I go down to watch Ben shoot. He does take jump shots, and he doesn't make them with ease, but he's making jump shots, and he seems pretty comfortable. It's once he gets in the game, that's where he clams up.
Yeah.
But once he gets that confidence, watch out. I'm telling you, watch out. Once people know that he has more to his arsenal on offense, he's going to be a problem for a lot of people. He's already a problem for a lot of teams.
A big problem.
And yet we want to trade him.
And then sometimes he's a problem for his team.
Yeah, you're right. He is. Sometimes Joel Embiid's a problem for his team.
True indeed.
He had 36 points yesterday. I don't want to put really any blame on Embiid from yesterday, but he had 3 turnovers on the fourth quarter. And he wasn't really effective in the fourth quarter. He was lost in the fourth quarter.
And in overtime, took 0 shots.
Which is a problem. But just because Joel Embiid has a bad night doesn't mean we're going to trade Joel Embiid. We're not going to trade Ben Simmons. It's not happening.
It's not happening. It's not going to happen.
Carson Wentz throws 2 interceptions. You want to trade him for Saquon Barkley.
That's because Nick Foles got you a championship. By the way, can I say this before we get to the phones? Bill, hang on. We have a first take on, right?
Why?
It was already on the television. I didn't turn the TV
on. My TV's off.
All right. Why do I need Damon Jones on my TV screen?
You don't.
I never do. I've always brought this. You know, they had Anthony talks about like the hate to face guys and guys I just can't stand in sports. I never understood Damon Jones. Yes, he could shoot. He was a bench player. He's a nice shooter. I got it. He would always talk about how he's the best shooter of all time. That's not true either. He was only on the Cleveland bench because LeBron James
right.
was his friend,
yeah.
And I hated seeing him all the time. Now I got to see him on First Take.
Who's your number one hate the face? In the media where you see them all the time on TV.
See, I don't watch a lot of those shows anymore because they're boring.
Yeah, I never. I haven't watched First Take.
I've never watched First Take.
No, I used to in high school.
Never.
But I grew up.
Who in the media can I just not stand his face? It's a good question. Well, right now, Damon Jones just jumped to the top. Because I can't stand Damon Jones.
Collinsworth's a hate the face for me.
I like Chris Collinsworth.
And
I don't care what any of you people say.
I don't have... People say he's biased toward the against the Eagles. He's not.
No.
But just his chuckles and his laughter and everybody's... He's like Gruden. He's a grade below Gruden where everybody's the best player in the league.
I like Collinsworth.
Okay.
I don't mind him.
You know what? I'll get you a picture of Collinsworth for Christmas. Day late.
Can you have him sign it?
No.
All right.
He's got to return my text first. That never happens.
Cool. Bill in Schwanksville is next on the Fanatic. What's happening, Bill?
Hey, Devon, how are you?
I'm doing well.
Good. Before I get to my point with you, your partner there, Robert Lloyd. The thing with Brett Brown, I don't like. You know, I'm not big on him. I don't think he's a coach to take us to the next level. Yes. He's a good coach, but not a great coach. And the difference between basketball and football and a lot of the other sports, especially football. Football, the coach is so instrumental because he's calling basically every play. In basketball, you know, how many plays are they really calling? It's the players, right? I mean, it's you got great players, you're going to win. And, you know, so it comes down to the players. Now, my thing with Simmons is, now, he was just saying, your partner there, and you know I'm not big on Simmons. At this point, like you mentioned before, the 16, the 9, the 8, whatever, the stats. But the stats are deceiving. When he plays against a very good team or a very good defensive team or a very good team, he's only scoring, like yesterday, 10 points. He's ineffective in the half court.
Again, how do you get it done?
Correct. Yeah, he scores 20 against the Scrubs, 20 plus, but he gets 10, 8, you know, 6, you know, he's terrible against the good teams. And in the playoffs, you play against nothing but good teams. And that's what he's going to average, is 8 to 10 points. And the thing is, even without the jump shot, which has done me crazy, you look yesterday, Devon, at the end of the game, it's not just the jump shot. He can't finish in the lane. He drove on a fast break, Devon, and went off on the right-hand side, his right foot, and I mean, like he's never played basketball before. It's like he has no confidence, like no idea, IQ of offensive skills, like in the lane, and he misses so many easy tippers just because he's like, he's 6'10", he's afraid to get blocked, and that's what is so frustrating.
Frustrating. And you know, as you said, you're not a Bing guy, I am a Bing guy, but I understand how frustrating it can be. And as you said, listen, Bill, I brought it up. I hated Tony Roten. He showed me Tony Roten layups yesterday on those plays off the wrong foot because they were rebound drills from high school.
And Devon, that jump shot that he made yesterday, if you go back and watch that, that's a typical Ben Simmons jump shot. Again, he jumped like he was shooting right-handed. A right-handed fadeaway. That's why he actually corrected himself by jumping the incorrect way. And that's what drives it. If you're watching on a jump shot, he never goes into it like a jump shooter, like ever. He's never, ever done that. Like like I said yesterday, he made a mistake, but he corrected it by making his own. And that's why the shot actually went. He corrected himself by making a mistake. And that's just so frustrating. I mean, like I said, it is. He's in the playoff is detrimental because he's never, as people are saying, teams don't have to respect him. When you say Embiid can't get a shot, he's not getting a shot, it's because when Ben bends it down to him, there's no threat for Embiid to kick it out and him even to drive and finish or even an 8-foot jumper.
Now, listen, Bill, you can go on and on and on for 5 minutes about it, and I know you will because I know how frustrated you are with Ben Simmons, just like many others. I got it. As we said earlier, Tony Roten, he gave me flashbacks yesterday, driving to the basket. And I remember when I would say this about Tony Roten, and somebody said to me, well, Russell Westbrook does the same thing. Well, Russell Westbrook goes 100 miles per hour and knows how to stop at 98 and get the ball off the backboard.
Don't give me a comparison of Roten and Russell Westbrook.
No, I'm serious. This is what I
used to
get.
Somebody actually did that.
Yes. I'm not making that up. Yes, because I used to call Tony Roten 100 miles and running. Because he would go so fast, he would be under the basket, the ball would hit the bottom of the rim and start a fast break. Or he would go hard off the backboard and it would start a fast break. And that's what Ben did yesterday 3 times. And everybody's talking about the one. He did it 3 times yesterday.
Twice in the fourth quarter alone.
So fast that the ball was really a rebound high school drill to start a fast break. Catch the ball. They used to say, catch the ball off the glass, slap it, you've turned. Outlet, fill that lane as your man gets into the middle of the floor to start the 3-man break. That's what happened yesterday for the Boston Celtics.
So to Bill's call, I agree with him in terms of Ben Simmons, like we're talking about right now, the Tony Roten-esque layups. But when he brings up these games against better teams and then against teams that are bottom dwellers, I read off the splits earlier. Maybe Bill wasn't listening at the time. Against teams like the Raptors, Celtics, Bucks, Pacers, and Cavaliers, mainly Cavaliers because of last year. 29 games Ben Simmons has played against those 5 teams. And then against teams like the Hawks, Hornets, Nets, Knicks, and Wizards. 29 games against those teams. In the teams against the worst teams, he only averages 1.75 more points per game. Only averages 0.65 less turnovers a game. Only averages 0.48 assists, more assists per game, 0.62 rebounds per game, and then 0.28 less field goals attempted per game. So these splits, I get what you're saying. In bigger moments, you want Ben Simmons to go out there and score 20, 25 points.
I do.
But the splits between the top five teams and the bottom five teams, not that much different.
Like I said to you, it's about the impact of those numbers, the stats. When did they come? What point of the game? How did he get to the where he was with those stats? Yes, it's pretty much even across the line, 16, 8, and 7, or whatever it
right.
might be.
But when,
how did it get
But when
done?
Bill says he only scores 6 points against teams like the Celtics, that's not necessarily true.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. And yes, you want him, you want your star, you want your generational type player to step up against those big teams, especially come playoff time, which he did not. There's a game he only scored 1 point, right, against the Celtics last year. Like, that can't happen. He's right about that. That cannot happen. But this idea that he all of a sudden becomes a ghost against some of the better teams, yes, there are points in the games when he is, but if you really look into it, they're pretty much even.
But you know what's glaring is when you have 11 turnovers against Kawhi Leonard and
that's
Toronto
bad.
Raptors. You don't forget about that.
No.
Especially when it's early in the season. That's going to carry you until you redeem yourself at some point, especially in the postseason.
Right, and I heard from too many people saying, well, Kawhi is one of the best defensive players in the league.
Well,
yeah, you're right. But 11 turnovers should not happen.
Not at all.
And I agree to that. That was an awful game for Ben. Would you say last night was an awful game for Ben Simmons or just sort of average?
It was an average game. Yeah, because
people are making it out to be like he should be traded right now because he had the worst game of his career last night, which wasn't true.
11, 14, and 8. And you can say that at some point to your 16, 8, and 7, that he puts up hollow numbers a lot of nights. Because, again, where's the impact of that triple-double?
Right, there are some triple-doubles where I go, all right, 10, 10, and 10. And
Russell Westbrook, he averaged a triple-double. A lot of those triple-doubles, you'd be like, all right, it was weak because, number one, your team wasn't winning. Number two, because you were stat-chasing.
But he would also have 25 points those nights.
Yeah, because he's a different type
right.
of player. The idea is different, but the same. Hollow.
But this idea that people are ready to move on from Simmons already?
Yeah, like I said, if it was
yeah,
a conversation
guy.
Where you said, all right, let's talk about Damian Lillard, we're going to have a long conversation.
But is that conversation even possible? Like, does that conversation ever happen?
That's not until the offseason. Really. If depending on what Portland does and how the Sixers season ends in the playoffs, if he was bad, that's where the conversation would happen.
Does Portland want to get rid of Lillard for Ben Simmons?
No,
they might lose Lillard eventually because of his contract.
I understand that they would have to do something. And we're not talking about trading Ben Simmons.
No,
it's just a question from earlier, and I answered the question and said I would talk about Damian Lillard with Neil O'Shea. 610-632-0975. Andrew Salchunas. I'm Devon Givens. In for the midday, guys, with you until 2 o'clock. Jamie and Bob carry you during Mike's show from 2 to 6. And I'm sure they'll get into a lot of the Sixers game yesterday. Some Eagles conversation as well on the phones here. 610-632-0975. And real fast, we got Inge coming up, a generational caller. Somebody texted me who was listening and said, oh, yeah, you have a media guy, Chris Broussard. I can't stand Chris Broussard. I know you've had him on the air, and I apologize because this is during your time.
No, we've had conversations,
not
you
a fan.
And I.
Not a fan. I know his daughter goes to Penn. Not a fan. I'm sorry. I'm just not. I don't care. Not a fan.
That's fine.
Okay. So that's one of my TV people that I just cannot stand. Thank you to whoever's
And now
listening.
You get him on one of those shows, but it's on Fox Sports instead.
Yeah, well, I'm not watching that one either.
The yelling and screaming.
There you go. Inge and King of Prussia, generational caller on 97.5. What's up, Inge?
Yo, dude.
What's up, dude?
No, I agree with you. I can't believe you're saying that. But, dude, he does nothing for you to win a game.
Well, I wouldn't say that.
I'm saying I just want to give him the ball at the end of games. And see what happens, what he can do.
You want to put an experiment out there on the floor?
Yeah. But this is what I see. I'm pretty sure. Look, I pretty much said that Fultz couldn't play first game I saw him at Washington. And the same thing with Ben Simmons, that he wasn't a winner. He could play, but he wasn't a winner. Look, I don't think the other thing I've been saying is this. I don't think he's going to get much better. He is, like, he's been playing like this since he's what? First grade or whenever he grabbed the basketball.
Mm-hmm.
This is how he played.
And he's very good.
And he's not going to get
better than a lot of people.
Yeah, obviously, but it's not good enough to get out of the second round.
Now, how much of that, to your point, how much of that is, and you've watched sports, you know how this thing works, youth sometimes takes over. Would you lean more, not more, but would you lean at least to say some of it is youth and he has to get over that as time goes on?
No.
You don't think that is possible? Okay.
No, I don't, but look, looking at last night's game, what sticks out to me, if you look at the starting point guard and the starting three, which is Butler, for Boston, they were plus 40. And the Sixers with Ben Simmons and Butler was a minus 30. So you got Tatum and Irving at plus 40. I think this is what I'm seeing. J.J. Redick is not a starter. You have to move him to the sixth man, to the bench.
Not on this team.
You got to move Butler.
Not on this
to the
team.
Two.
Who are you starting?
He's not a two.
Who are
He's
you
not
starting?
A three.
Who are you starting in place of J.J. Redick?
Butler.
Who's starting in place of Jimmy Butler?
Yeah, I'm going to get a three somewhere. I have to.
You have no assets to trade and get that three.
He's killing you. If J.J. Redick can't make a freaking 15-footer, he's a waste. He plays no defense. Look, did you see how much trouble he had with Tatum, the length of Tatum?
Well, he's not supposed
he's
to be
two.
Guarding Jason Tatum. Inge, you know that. Thanks for the call, man. He's not supposed to be guarding Jason Tatum. He's supposed to be on Marcus Smart, not Jason Tatum. That's a super mismatch. And that's when a double team has to come. That's where when he gets caught on Jason Tatum is part of the problem when it comes to those switches that they do quite often. Okay?
Real quick, some NFL news or NFL draft news.
How are they jumping in on our conversation?
Justin Herbert from Oregon.
Yeah.
Arguably the number one quarterback that will be going into the draft. No longer going into the draft. Returning to Oregon for his senior year.
Look at that.
So teams like
Tim Duncan.
The Bucks, who are 5-10. Teams like the Lions, Stafford, so they probably wouldn't draft a quarterback. The Cardinals, 3-12. They have Rosen. The Jags are 5-10.
Giants.
Who knows? Raiders 4-11. The Giants are 5-10. There would have been a possibility that Herbert fell to the Giants. I don't know exactly who has the worst record out of the three 5-10 teams, but
he messed up some draft for people. He messed up
big
some
time.
Yes, he did.
And if he went to the Giants, now I'm not going to tell you that I sat and watched tape of this kid all the way out in Oregon, but that's pretty big news for the Eagles because now the Giants might miss out on drafting a big quarterback.
Well, at least that particular big quarterback.
Right.
Yes.
Arguably the best quarterback.
They still may take a shot at a quarterback because they took the right one, in my opinion, in Saquon Barkley. I know people say, no, you don't take the running back. They weren't going to be good anyway. It did not matter. They took the right one. 610-632-0975. Kevin in Center City is next on the Fanatic. Kev.
Yeah, what's going on?
What's up, man?
Listen, Devine, I told you, we all know Brett Brown's at fault, but here's the reason why. The most egregious thing Brett Brown ever did was naming Ben Simmons the point guard before he saw what he really brought to the table.
Now, let's bring this back, let's rewind. Remember, first he said he is going to be the four, and then he changed
the four.
It up. And said he's going to be the point guard.
Here's the thing. I've been hashtagging it all year, not a point guard. He's not a point guard, man. He's a great ball handler in transition. Yeah, he doesn't handle the ball well in close spaces, and he can't shoot. He's not a point guard. He's a point forward. He needs to play along what you see from a Draymond Green or what you can see from a LeBron James. He clogs the whole – the offensive game sucks in itself. But it sucks even more with Ben Simmons at the point guard. And he can do all the things he does well from the forward position. So I don't understand this insistency to have him play point guard. If it's me, I'm bringing in a true point, somebody that can move an offense with their handle.
Because Ben Simmons said he's a point guard. That's why.
Here's the thing. People talk about sacrifice. Like I heard people say it all the time when Joel Embiid made his comments. Oh, you got to sacrifice for the team, right? It's the same thing. You got to sacrifice for the team. You might want to be a point guard, but you're not a point guard. You've shown you're not a point guard. Listen, how many times have you seen Ben Simmons just, like you said, the left-handed layups off the wrong foot? Like, come on, man. He's not a point guard. And the faster they realize that, the faster, the better this team will be. He's a great player. He's not a dominant or transition
player.
That transitional tag, I've never subscribed to it because he's never dominant. He didn't dominate in college. Like, when you watch Ben Simmons played in college, he wasn't the best player on the court a lot of times. He's not the best player on the court a lot of times. Like, so he's a good player. He has a great skill set and a great size. People are just stuck on his measurables, but he's not a point guard.
The idea of the 6'10", 240 point guard can pass. He's a very good passer and all that stuff.
But when you evaluate his performance, it's nothing transitional, transgenerational, whatever tag Tyler wants to give you. It's nothing about it that says that. He's a very good player. He has the potential to be great if he learns how to shoot, even though I have my questions about that. But he's not a point guard. You got to get somebody in here who can actually run this offense like the way Brett Brown wants it to be run. If that's what he's going to, if he wants to play this Euro ball, this running and squirt, and whatever you want to call it.
That's the thing. Kev, he changed already. Like you said, the problem was from the start, he told him he was a point guard and everything. If you remember, like I said, thanks for the call, man. Good to hear from you. He first said he was going to be a forward. He was going to be a four-man, as Brett Brown likes to say. And then he said, oh, Summer League is here. He's going to be our point guard, and he's going to be our point guard. And Ben Simmons said, I am a point guard. And there we have it. 610-632-0975. You got to stand up to your players sometimes and make them do what you need them to do. He can flourish in that four spot. As much as I like T.J. McConnell, T.J. McConnell can't be your point guard. It has to be Markelle Fultz or De'Aaron Fox or Dennis Smith from that particular draft when you got Markelle Fultz. It has to be one of those types of players. Right now, it is Ben Simmons. And maybe we are seeing again where that change has to happen at some point. The 1 o'clock hour is brought to you by the Rothenberg Law Firm, Philly Proud and Philly Strong for over 49 years. To find out more, visit injurylawyer.com. Quick break. We come right back. Andrew Salchunas up next with the update here on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic. 30-minute run for us here before we hand things off to Jamie and Bob Cooney as they handle things from Mike to 6 this afternoon here on The Fanatic. 610-632-0975. Andrew Salchunas, Devon Givens with you. And it's time to get a little bit of that Twitter poll update stuff that we do. Twitter poll of the day is brought to you by Roofing Nation. Get a brand new roof for as low as $7,900. Free gutters, plus free gutters. Call Roofing Nation today at 833-4NATION or visit roofingnation.com. Drew, let's run back this here with this Twitter poll.
Right, the question that we ran earlier was who deserves most of the blame for last night's loss of the Celtics? Over 2,500 votes today. Brett Brown, 43% of the vote.
He's still running strong.
28%, 13 points off the bench. So people giving the Sixers the benefit of the doubt, it looks like. 15% say Ben Simmons, and 14% say Kyrie was just that good.
He was that good. 40 points and two big shots for the Boston Celtics to put the nail in the coffin for the 76ers. So Brett Brown holding strong there, 43%, but not a lot of phone calls about Brett Brown. This has been a Ben Simmons themed show.
Well, the Brett Brown phone calls that we've gotten has been fire, Brett Brown.
They have been fire.
There has not been a pro Brett Brown call, except for one guy said it's up to the players. You don't really call many plays in the NBA. They called a play at the end there. And Brett Brown also decided to not call a single timeout when he had two left, when they scored 5 total points in the final 4 minutes and 5 seconds. And I said it in the beginning of the show, I would have preferred Brett Brown to call a timeout for that final possession, unless they have scored 15 points in the last 4 minutes and they have this momentum and you don't want to call a timeout and kill any time like that. But because they had not been scoring,
They had not find any rhythm on offense in those last 4 minutes. I'd rather you stop the game and actually draw something up and let the guys take a breather. All kinds of stuff. Five points in the last 4 minutes.
I know. Neither of those teams could score in that stretch. I said to you again, I did not have a problem with going without calling the timeout. It was the dribble handoff that was my issue. Come up, Jimmy Butler, set that pick. Not J.J. Redick. Or if at least you're going to come up and give the idea of the dribble handoff with J.J. Redick, where's the other action that's going on to get some other movement that while you're paying attention to that, oh, Jimmy Butler is now cutting to the basket and maybe has something in that 15 to 13 range area where he might be able to get a shot as well. So that was my issue. Not that you did not call the timeout. It was the dribble handoff is what we see all the time in the Sixers offense. That was my problem.
Regardless, both come down to Brett Brown. And that's why he's got 43% of the vote.
It's true. All right. I can't.
I try to defend the guy. I try to defend them because I know the deficiencies they have on the bench. I know that they only could score 13 points last night. And I know we got somebody on hold, T. Will, who called in. He was all angry that Furkan Korkmaz hit a big three. He did hit a big three yesterday.
98-91.
It was huge. But, okay, is Furkan your sixth man? No. Furkan's not. I mean, when they have a full bench, Furkan Korkmaz isn't going to get many minutes.
Nope.
You know what I mean? Like, and that's why I sort of, I don't want to say protect or defend Brett Brown, but he doesn't have a full roster yet. He has three stars.
Yes, and J.J. Redick is very good.
But once those guys are off the court, and I know you're not putting all five guys on the bench, but you only played four guys off the bench yesterday, but they don't have a full team. T.J. McConnell's great for 10 minutes, not 23. We had a caller, John from Gladwin, called in and said he missed Justin Anderson for crying out loud.
He did say that. Only based on how the game is flowing. Again, will I give T.J. McConnell extended minutes based on how it's going and how he's playing and if the team is winning and all that stuff. He had an impact in the postseason against Boston. It was too late. Brett Brown, that was his fault for waiting too long to put T.J. McConnell in the starting lineup with Ben Simmons. And the one game where he took Ben out and put T.J. in when the Sixers had the lead. That was also a problem. Eli in Mount Airy is next on the Fanatic. Elijah, what's going on?
Yo, what up, Devon?
What's happening, man?
You know what's up. I'm going to say this.
Yes.
I remember a saying when I was a kid, and if players win games, coaches lose them. And that's what happened, man. Like, that's definitely a Brett Brown loss. I gotta say, I understand he's playing with half a clip against these upper echelon teams in the East. But I don't care how many times you see it. Get the ball to Jimmy Butler, get out of his way. Game time. Get the ball to Jimmy Butler, get out of his way.
Okay, that's why you trade for him, right?
It's that simple. Mm-hmm. That's exactly why you traded for him. That's why I wanted him, because we needed somebody to close, get their own bucket, and close off games. But that's not why I called. I called because I called you about a month ago.
Yes.
After the Raptors lost. And I don't know if you remember, I said in the last 3 minutes of the basketball game, they need to sit Ben Simmons, stretch the floor, and let Joel Embiid and Jimmy Butler do what they do.
I remember.
I still believe that. I think that Ben Simmons is our point guard. I do think that, and I do think that he is a transcendent talent. But if you cannot shoot a jump shot and you cannot shoot a free throw, so you don't want to get fouled because you got to shoot free throws, you can't hit a jump shot, so your player, they're just going to play off of Ben Simmons, double team whoever has the ball, and as soon as Ben get it, foul him. Put him on the line, make him beat him there.
Yep.
You got to sit him until he decides that he really want to put in the work and get the jump shot. Yeah. All you got to do is put the work in.
All right. Yeah. Well, see, and here's the one thing, though, Eli. Listen, thanks for the call, man. It's not like he doesn't work. I think he works. I know he works. It's just, what is he working on?
But if you take out Ben Simmons, then what are you doing on the other end?
He said, final 3 minutes, you take out Ben Simmons because of the free throw and jump shot.
Okay, so what happens on the other end of the court? You're playing T.J. McConnell, and I know he's a gnat on defense. But
offensively... Yeah, for him, offensively, it's just about running the team. That's it, period.
Yeah, but then you take a hit on defense because you don't have Ben Simmons out there, who is a good defender. Like, I get it. It's not
like college basketball, where you see the final 2 minutes of a college basketball game, you have the big guy who can't hit free throws, comes off on offense, but then you put him right back in on defense. It's not like that.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just take out Ben Simmons because he doesn't shoot.
No, I'm not taking
If you're going to say the same, then you can say the same thing about J.J. Redick. J.J. Redick hurts you defensively, I would say, in the final couple minutes of the game. But you need him on the court because he's your best pure shooter.
That's why I start him. I get the deficiencies that he has, but he has to be out on the floor as well, J.J. Redick. Rick in West Philly is next on the Fanatic. What's up, Rick?
Fellas, how you going? Happy holidays to you.
Same to you, man. Thank you.
Really enjoy the show. You guys really make my days.
I appreciate
Definitely.
That.
Calling about the Eagles and the Sixers. The first I'm going to start with the Eagles. My question is, if the entire dynamics of the team, not talent, not what you gave up for Wentz, but if the whole chemistry of the team on both sides of the ball is better with Foles at quarterback, why is it not a serious consideration that going forward did Foles be the number one quarterback?
That's been the question, Rick, for a lot of people if a scenario like that happens. I'm not there yet. I don't know what's holding me back, Rick, but I'm just not there yet. I believe Carson Wentz is good. Now he has to stay healthy and be available. That's the best availability is the best available, right? That's the one thing that everybody always talks about, just being available, and he keeps getting hurt. That said, I still think he's good enough to get things done. We haven't seen him win the Super Bowl. I know it, but I stand behind Carson Wentz. But if Nick Foles makes this run again, that conversation is real, Rick.
I have a question as far as the Sixers are concerned.
Go for it.
It just seems, all right, I'm going to make a statement first. It just seems to me that Brett Brown has this, like, connection with J.J. Redick. And in my mind, and I think the average person that has any type of basketball knowledge mind, that when it comes crunch time, that Jimmy Butler should have the ball. And it seems like every play that he runs is for Redick to, like, we're going to live or die with Redick. And I can't stand it. It's making me sick.
Well, he loves J.J. Redick.
Like
Rick,
all.
He loves J.J. Redick. Thanks for the call. I love J.J. Redick, but I was not running that play for J.J. Redick. I at least was going to have Jimmy Butler come up and set that screen. We already saw where pick and roll for Jimmy Butler, it's not going to be a pick and pop, so pick and roll for Jimmy Butler and Ben Simmons, it worked. Then there are other things that can happen off of that for Jimmy Butler, whether it's creating a shot for someone else outside of Ben Simmons, or him simply creating for himself and pulling up somewhere in that mid-range area for a good look, ball game, walk off, let's get ready for Lakers, Golden State Warriors, 8 o'clock.
So you're telling me you would have preferred the guy that you traded two stars for in a pick? To take the last shot?
Yeah, and it's not even necessarily taking the last shot. It's being involved in the play. He could have been
not
a decoy.
Not just sitting in the corner.
Right. That's it. 610-632-0975. T-Will, hang on. Kev, my man, hang on. Jerry, Dan, Chris, Mitch, we'll get to you on the other side. Final segment for us before we hand it off to Jamie and Bob right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Final segment for us here, Andrew Salchunas, Devon Givens, and for the Midday Guys. Coming up next, Jamie Lynch, Bob Cooney, and for Mike Missinelli, 2-6. You want to reach them at 610-632-0975. We have a lot of people who want to jump in, so we do want to give them an opportunity. First, let me tell you guys about the Super Bowl weekend on Friday, February 1st. Join the Farzetta and Trey Morning Show with the other two guys as well. You can't forget about them. That would be Bob Cooney and Jamie Lynch coming up next at 2 as they host Philly's inaugural Super Bowl weekend and tailgate party at the Met Philadelphia. The Fanatic is teaming up with the Philadelphia Cornhole League to throw the biggest cornhole tournament and tailgate party Philly has ever seen. Want to play? Go to 975thefanatic.com to register your team for a chance to play on the Mets' huge stage. Just want to party? You can also go to 975thefanatic.com right now and download your free tickets. It's Farzetta and Trey's Super Bowl weekend, and it happens Friday, February 1st at the Met Philadelphia. Jamie and Bob also. All right. 610-632-0975. Let's run these calls. T. Will is on 97.5. What's up, T. Will?
What's up, good brother?
How you doing, man?
Hey, man, down here dodging these raspberry and blueberries. You know that. Hey, listen, man.
yo. Go ahead, man.
Yo. I've been preaching this a while, and the midday co-host called me crazy. But the more and more everyone keeps watching this game, the more and more I'm correct. Pressure bust pipes. Embiid and Simmons will play 46 minutes strong and look dominant. But them last 2 minutes of games in big situations, they come up soft, man. They come up soft. And it goes back to coaching. Everything goes back to coaching. Because your coach is the reason why you're out there on the court, okay? You have to execute what he's giving you. And he's not putting them in the best winning position to close these games out. And everyone wants to harp about the bench. We don't have a bench, okay? We have pieces. We don't have a bench. We're already two guys down, all right? And we have one guy who's playing like two-way, going to the D-League, coming back. Going to D League, coming back just to get some burn before he plays with us to stay in shape. We have to sit and be patient and wait till some buyouts happen and wait till the deadline. And it's going to be tough. That was a tough loss to swallow last night. I put a lot of that on Brett. I put a lot of that on Simmons. He's got to grow up. He's got to make some layups. He's got to hit foul shots. You know my saying, you miss a foul shot, you get fined. The team should fine you every time you miss a foul shot in pressure situations, because that's when you kill your team. Your team needs you in big situations, and he's coming up small.
Well, listen, man, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. He 46 minutes, 48-minute game, according to T. Will, Simmons and Embiid. Not good. Not good down the stretch. Let's keep it moving on the phones. Dan in North Wales is next on the Fanatic. What's up, Dan?
Yo, what's up, Devon? Definitely enjoy the show, like your style on the radio. Couple of things I'd like to unpack. One, primarily Ben Brett Brown, but then also Ben Simmons.
Uh-huh.
Brett Brown is not a championship coach. He's a very good coach for an up-and-coming team, but we've seen time and time again, he can't beat the top coaches in the league. That's the issue with him. And then with Ben, because of his relationship with Ben, he can't effectively coach Ben. He can't be objective, because people who understand basketball can really see that he's not an effective point guard. You can't even really run pick and roll through Ben Simmons with him with the ball as the ball handler. He can be the screener and the role man, possibly, but that's even questionable at times. They need to get a coach in here who can dictate to Ben Simmons the things that he has to do to make the team better. And Brett Brown's not that guy, because Ben Simmons is like his nephew or his godson or something like that. Markelle Fultz, in my opinion, is even a better point guard than Ben Simmons with some development. So let's pray that he kind of comes back and can be effective. And one final thing, Monty Williams might be the guy.
I don't know about that.
Oh, no, okay.
Not to get him over the top. If that's where you're going, I don't know that would be the case.
Okay, that's cool. I can understand that. Yep.
Well, listen, man, Dan, thanks for the call. Thanks for the kind words, man. Really appreciate it. Kevin Winfield is next on the Fanatic. Kev, my man.
Von, what's up, Von?
What's going on?
Hey, nothing, man. This stressed out from this team, man.
Yeah, last night was tough.
I'm. You already know, Von. We talk all the time. First of all, I don't like Brett Brown as a coach. I'm not saying he's a terrible coach. He's not the man for this job. I don't like his subbing. His subbing is terrible. His lineups and the fact that he put Ben Simmons as a point guard is all negatives on my list. I agree with that last guy that was on here that said there's a lot of things that he do wrong. I'm totally with this guy. As far as Ben Simmons, people keep calling saying he's not a point guard. I agree, he's not a point guard. He runs full speed up the court, picks up his dribble all the time, throw it back out, always turning the ball over. Okay, take him off the point guard. What are you going to do, Von? Play power forward? It's going to be the same thing. If you don't shoot, it's going to be the exact same thing. Ben Simmons is too limited offensively for the Sixers to take the next step.
So what do you
do? I don't know what you do. I don't know if you – my whole thing is punish him, because there's no way in the world a grown man who's been playing a game whose dad was a professional don't take jump shots. It's unheard of, Von. It's unheard of, man. I took up for Ben Simmons, everybody calling him a bum and all that. I always was the guy that reasons and say, oh, no, we need Ben Simmons. Now, you know what? I'm swayed to the other side on this guy, because I don't see – any way that this dude is, y'all keep talking, okay, he get rebounds and all that. He's 6'10", athletic, he get rebounds. Of course he gonna get 10 assists, you know why? He doesn't want to shoot the ball. He gonna get 10 assists. 11 points ain't enough to be a big three. And I just heard Andrew say that they have his three stars. No, they don't. They got two in the possible, man. He's not a star yet, man.
He's not a star. Hey, Kev, listen, man, sorry, we got to get ready to get out of here and hand things off. Thanks for the call for Bob and Jamie, man.
Elite is what I called him.
Yeah, okay.
Like Wentz.
All right, fair enough. Listen, man, a lot of passionate calls today. A tough game last night. It was tough to watch, and we reacted to it all day long, and we really appreciate the interaction. Andrew is always fun, man. Thank you so much. Andrew and I will be back tomorrow in for the midday, guys. Again, coming up next, you got Jamie Lynch and Bob Cooney, 2-6. Always a great listen, so make sure you guys stick around. I'll be back tomorrow, 10 o'clock, with Andrew right here on The Fanatic. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you tomorrow right here on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.